Well, thank you for joining us for our midweek service tonight. God bless each and every one of you. Appreciate you being here. I do ask you to be praying for the family of Jamie Irby. Jamie left this walk of life to be with the Lord this past Sunday. Many of you know Jamie. He's usually sitting right back there on Sundays and helped with our SAT team and just a dear brother, but he is now with Jesus, and his service is tomorrow at Greenview, viewing at 12, I think, and until 2, and then the service at 2 p.m. For those of you who may want that information, I know they covet your prayers. Also, earlier, just I guess about the time service was beginning a little earlier, there was a shooting down at the Florence Police Department, I think parking lot, and so we just pray for that situation right now, all the police officers, whoever's involved. Lord, we just ask that your wisdom, your comfort, your presence would be real. Lord, I don't know the details, but it seems like somebody went there because they wanted to end their life. And I just pray that you would be moving and working in all the hearts that are affected by this in Jesus' name. And Lord, protect all of those who work around the clock to protect us, to serve our community and to take care of us, Lord, our police officers, our fire department personnel, our EMT people, and Lord, even all the emergency workers there at the hospital, the doctors and nurses. Thank you that all these services are available to us. Lord, sometimes we take them for granted, but we just lift them up to you tonight and pray that you would bless them, bless their families. Lord, for those who may not know you, draw them to yourself. May they find the confidence and assurance that, and peace that only you can give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about casting your net. Oh, I do need to remind you, this weekend is a big weekend. Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Bishop Kyle Searcy, Dr. Dan Hammer will be here. Bishop Kyle's from Montgomery. He's a mean, lean preaching machine, and Dan Hammer is from one of the most apostolic churches that I've ever preached at up in the Everett, Washington area. That's just north of Seattle. Both of these brothers have a strong mantle and anointing on their life. They're prophetic. We're going to have ministry time. They'll be tag team preaching this weekend. It'll be a little different, but on Saturday morning, they'll be tag teaming. On Sunday morning, they'll be tag teaming. Sunday night, we're going to gather in here. They're going to do we'll have some worship in all of our services, but they'll do just a little exhorting, and then we're going to have a laying on the hand service, and just pray that the power of God and the fire of God will fall in this house. Amen. So it's a wonderful weekend for gaining ground in our personal lives and in our congregation and so forth. So be praying, asking God to move and work. Come with expectancy in your heart, and bring your buckets and expect them to be full. Amen. Tonight, the casting of your net. The casting of your net. You know, in the middle of an ordinary day, when you're doing the same old thing that you've always done, the same old way at the same old time, day after day after day, just in the middle of an ordinary, mundane, run-of-the-mill, not much happening, not much in changing day. In a moment, everything can change when Jesus shows up and does what he does. Luke chapter 5 sets the stage for just a day like this. An ordinary day in the life of some fishermen, but everything was about to change for them. Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, that is about Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now this is who we later know as Peter. And asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. I preached at the lake one time, and that was pretty cool. Well, that's a Jesus thing for sure. We have it right here. Now, in verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, and some of us preachers need to remember that verse. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now notice what happens, verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I'm so glad he didn't stop there, and he is too. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners. Remember, there were two boats there? In the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, I've been on some pretty good fishing trips before, but this one tops anything I've ever seen. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. That was a pretty good day at the office, right? Thought the job was done, fruitless day, and Jesus turned it all around. Now, we don't have a lot of time tonight, so let me just zip ahead and begin to share with you some observations out of this passage. First thing I want to share with you is this. Be willing to give the Lord what you have when you're running on empty. You see, Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. We've toiled. It's hard work casting those nets. I don't know. It's not like doing your Zepco that you go do for fun. These nets were huge, and they would have to throw them out and then pull them back in, then throw them out and pull them back in, throw them, you get the picture. Over and over, same old, all night long, zilch, zero, caught nothing. They were on empty. We read they were already washing their nets. They were putting up their equipment for the day. It was over. Time to go to Snoozeville, get some rest, worked hard all night, going home, won't have fish for lunch today. Jesus barred the boat. They went out, and as a result, he blessed their sandals off. And we're in that situation sometimes where we think, well, we're doing what we're supposed to do. And you do the same old thing over and over and over. You know, there's this definition of insanity. But I want to tweak that. I want to tell you, that's not, we've heard this many times. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get different results. I beg to differ with that. Because the Bible tells us to pray and keep on praying. To ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Because in the middle of one of those same old days when you're doing the same old thing, maybe praying the same old prayer over and over again, your breakthrough will come. There's some things you don't want to cease doing. You want to do exactly what God says, what His Word says. And so even when you're on empty, and you know, I've found out sometimes that's when you really see some of your biggest breakthroughs. When you get to the bottom, you don't have anything left to give. I got a call from a pastor not too long ago, brother I love. He's serving in a church and preaching the word, but he's serving in a church that just don't want to get on the same page with the word on some issues. And so there was a group in the church that risen up against him at this time, and they had some secret meetings, then called him in and ambushed him, and had this long list of grievances. They didn't really mention what he had been preaching, but that was the problem. But all these things that they, and he was so brokenhearted. He was just in tears. He called me, he's pouring his heart out, so discouraged. I prayed with him and I talked with him. But you know, and I hung up, I realized, well, you know what he's got to do? He's got to get in his study and he's got to stand before those same people on Sunday morning and preach the Word of God to them. You know, even in a preacher's life, there's sometimes when, well, I don't feel like preaching. I don't know if I have something. But I learned early on, you get your act together and you do what you're supposed to do. You come out and you do your best and God will bless it. What you don't want to do is come out and vomit all that stuff on people because they're there for encouragement, exhortation, and sometimes a little kick in the pants, I understand. But and it's that way in your job and what you do too. Some mornings you get up, you don't want to go to work. But you've got bills to pay. You've got a family to provide for. And you have to get up and you go. And you do what you need to do. And I'm just telling you, don't leave God out of the equation, because there are times in the middle of the ordinary seasons when maybe you're wore out and you're tired. I don't want to go. It's Wednesday night. My goodness. The week's just half over. I need some rest. I don't want to be here. Sometimes it's in the middle of those situations when you get your breakthrough. Because you did what you could do, even though you're running on empty, you give God what little bit you may have left in your gas tank. Be willing to give the Lord what you have when you're running on empty. They had toiled all night, but still here they go again, and they cast those nets. The second thing I want to share with you is don't allow your past experience to keep you from receiving a present word that's going to bless you. That's what Peter, that's kind of Peter's default. If you noticed among the disciples, the one that would kind of always kind of come back at Jesus and question him a little bit, or try to, you know, say, well, maybe I got a better idea, Lord, or that's, it's not going to be that way, it's going to be this way. Peter, you know, he was quick on the tongue. Lord, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. But in the middle of that, the nevertheless came out. Nevertheless, at your word. He decided he wasn't going to allow his experience of what had happened all night long to dictate what might happen next. And a lot of times we fall short of stepping into the place of blessing because of a bad past experience, because of a failure. You may fail. That doesn't make you a failure. Don't accept that as the assignment of your identity, because you failed that you're a failure. No, don't you give up. Particularly if you're doing the things you know you need to be doing. You know, other people may not recognize it and might not be getting the results that you desire at that time, but God's watching. And don't allow the negative, the past failures, the past experiences to keep you from that word you need now that will bring the blessing of God into your life. I shared this Sunday. I will repeat it. Many people struggle because their past has hijacked them. They're not living looking forward. They're living looking in the rearview mirror. And that's not where your future is. The blood of Jesus takes care of that behind you when you repent and confess your sin. And you have to believe that the power of Jesus' blood, now listen to this preacher, you've got to believe that the power of Jesus' blood is greater than the power of your past failures and sins and mess ups. His grace is greater than all our sin. I like the old hymn that reminds us of that. Where sin abounds, Paul said, grace does much more abound. Well, you don't know how deep my sin carried me, preacher. You don't know how dark it was. You don't know how far from God I strayed. I want to tell you ever how deep it was, how dark it was, how far it was. God's grace goes farther than that. You're not going to outrun the grace of God. It will come to you. Wherever you are, when the repentance leaves your heart and faith rises up, grace comes, kisses your life, and everything begins to change. That's the power of God's grace. That's my testimony and the testimony of hundreds, I'm saying hundreds of millions of people through time have found the grace of God and forgiveness of their sins. You don't have to allow your past experience to keep you from having an awesome future and receiving what God has for you. Peter did not allow a night spent in futility to keep him from seizing a moment that would bring the greatest harvest he had ever seen in his life. That brings us to the third thing. One word from the Lord can load your boat. Not only that, one word from the Lord can load your boat and somebody else's boat. Because that's what happened in this story. He got two boatloads of fish out of one cast. That tells you how big that net was. Wouldn't you like to have a YouTube moment of that? Wouldn't you like to have one of those National Geographic underwater cameras working, showing all that vacant water with no fish? Then when Jesus says, cast your nets, fish started coming from every direction, piling in there, just waiting to be caught. That's the power of God's Word. God's Word has power over the natural order. God's Word has power over every issue in your life, over any sickness we face, any dilemma we face, any shortfall we face. The power of God's Word, the blessing of the Lord, I shared this in the daily devotional the day before yesterday. It makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And these fish were a blessing from God in Peter's life. His blessing comes in many forms. Here, they were, I don't know what kind of fish they had, but it'd be like down the Tennessee River getting a load of crappie and largemouth, smallmouth bass, maybe a few of those sauger, those pike, and so forth. Some brim in there. Just two boatloads of fish. Now, that set them up big time. One word from the Lord can load your boat. You might get it in a sermon like this tonight. God might speak to your heart in some way. Your heart might be stirred and you go home and you have a dream tonight. And God reveals something to you in a dream. Or when you're doing your Bible reading in the morning, the word leaps out of it and the word from the Lord comes to you. Or somebody comes up to you and shares a prophetic word. The word can come in a lot of ways in your life, but when it comes, it's a key in your hand to unlock the blessings of God. Don't underestimate the power of God's word. I believe there'll be people getting words this weekend when these brothers come in. I'm real excited about the words that I believe that we're going to receive to challenge us as a congregation. One word from the Lord can load your boat. Maybe someone else's. Anybody in need of a boatload of blessing tonight? I know someone that can do it. Amen. Fourth thing. One step of faith resulted in the Lord's provision for their future. Nevertheless, Lord, at your word, that's Peter's faith. You know, faith can look like a lot of things. But on this occasion, what faith looked like was some calloused fisherman hands reaching down in the bottom of that boat and grabbing a net and slinging her out. That was his faith. He was acting on what Jesus said. It's not just hearing what Jesus said. Well, yeah, I heard you, Lord. I'll sling it out there. I'll pray about it. And when I feel the unction, I'll sling it out there. No, cast your net. It was a now word. When Peter slung that out, he got his harvest. One step of faith resulted in the Lord's provision. Now, don't move too quickly past the fact they had been doing that all night long. You know, most of us have sat in a boat and fished, or on the bank and fished, or on a dock and fished, and you know, you keep dropping your hook in the same place. I used to love to fish under the lights at night and catch crappie, you know. Sit there for hours just hoping that end of that pole would go. You know, never move sometimes for hours. They had been doing it all night long with those nets. Nothing. but because they acted on the word the Lord gave them. Right place, right time, where the miracle-working power of heaven intersected with their act of faith. And it resulted in a provision for their future. They were probably used to catching just a few fish, feed their family, sell a few of them, you know. That's how they made their living. This was their provision. And so that'd be like you going to work tomorrow and working 10 or 12 hours and not making a red cent. But Jesus showed up, and by obedience to his word, I don't know how many months of salary they got with that one sling of the net. The next thing, the fifth thing, is one decision could launch you into your destiny. Because when we get through, you know, these guys might not have been the sharpest knives in the drawer, but when they put that net out and it filled up with fish so much that they filled two boatloads, Peter, he had one of those Jethro moments, you know, naught plus naught's naught. He figured this out. Something's going on here beyond the ordinary. And I mean, then the fear of the Lord comes. Who is this? Only God could do something like this. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You know what Jesus did? He called him into the ministry. Things are changing for you today, Simon. It happened for James and John too. From now on, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to catch men. One decision could launch you into your destiny. And it's interesting what he tells him, don't be afraid. See, that tells me the fear of the Lord was on him. The fear of the Lord's a good thing. You know, we have sometimes this celebration services where God's moving and everybody's happy. But I've been in services where God does something that's so heavy, so weighty, so mind-boggling that the fear of the Lord comes. That's the awe of God. Where you're just like, this is God. Don't want to touch this. Don't want to mess this. This is God. I love all of it, but those moments are especially special. And this was one of those moments in Peter's life. Maybe you've had a moment like that, where it's like God, like Job said, he has taken me by the neck and he's shaken me to pieces. Where God's really got a hold of you. He's done something now and you realize, oh my goodness, this is real. He's real. He's real. Things will never be the same now. I'm aware that this is real. Knowing it's real, I've got to adjust my life to this. You know, everybody needs a God moment like that, where they're confronted with the fact that God is alive, that God is real, that this is true. It's not preaching, it's real. It's true. And one decision in a moment like that can launch you into your destiny where the light bulb goes off and you know that from now on your compass is pointing north toward God. From now on, everything in your life has got to adjust and align to who He is. And then that can be followed with direction, what you're supposed to do with your life. And again, don't always see a pulpit or a mission field. It may be that, and that's wonderful if that be the case. But God has people sprinkled everywhere, in the halls of government, in classrooms and schools. As we mentioned earlier, the police department, fire department, the hospitals, construction sites, all these different places, God sprinkles His sons and daughters to release the kingdom. Really, we all have that in common as Christians. That's our destiny, to release the kingdom, to release the love and light and joy of Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to live the gospel. One decision can launch you into your destiny. And I would suggest to you that Jesus moved in this way. They would have to be walking away from those boats. They would not be fishing now. But Jesus provided a way for them to take care of their families and do His will. He filled those boats up with enough provision. You can do, it didn't take much math. They were able to make sure their families would be taken care of. God takes care of His kids. He takes care of His kids. He's a miracle-working God. So I don't know your circumstance tonight, but the Lord does. And I'm telling you that this same Jesus that met with Peter and James and John had a gathering of people. They allowed Him to use their boat as a platform to share the gospel. And He turns around and just abundantly provides them a future, a harvest for their future, call them into ministry, and we can read about their lives through the rest of the New Testament. Even though John writes the last book of the Bible while he's on the Isle of Patmos. One word, one step of faith, one decision, and change everything. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you for being here on this Wednesday. We can have some worship music. If our prayer team members would come, if you would come on up right now and just be available to pray with people. If God is moving upon your heart, stirring your heart, maybe you're in the middle of the mundane, ordinary Wednesday, you know, hump day, middle of the week. But God is somehow stirring your heart tonight. Be sensitive to that. Come, let someone pray with you. Are there others who need to come? Feel free to come. We may need some more people to help pray. As we begin to worship, Father God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would move across this room. May the sweet songs of Your Spirit strum people's hearts and may people's hearts become awakened to You. May their hearts burn for You tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that You would begin to move and respond to these open hearts. People who have a need tonight, that You would meet them where they are. We pray as these people minister in the altar, Lord, Your sons and daughters, that Your anointing would be upon them. That You would bring scriptures to their mind, that Your gifts would flow through them. Have Your way, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, have Your way. Just step out from where you are if you need prayer. Make your way to the front as we sing.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Only holy is He.
Are there others? You come.
Sing a new song. Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He was and is to come. All creation I see, praise You.
I appreciate you being here tonight. I want to ask those of you who were baptized, would you just hold up your hand a moment? I know many of you are in here. Look around a moment. And these are our new brothers and sisters. Some of you, please go and welcome them right now. Just go and welcome them. Thank you for being here tonight. God's grace and blessings and joy be upon you. This altar remains open. But go and welcome some of these who have been baptized. Let them know you appreciate them being a part. If you would, hold up your hands one more time so they can see you. Yes, back there in the back, there's some folks. Yes.
God bless you all. Have a great week. See you on Saturday morning, 10 o'clock.
Golden rainbows, living color, flashes of lightning. Singing on a street that glory and power be. You're the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy. All creation I sing, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore.